Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
Job to do. That's win. That means you stay focused for four quarters. Know your assignments and finish on every play. Don't be looking for shortcuts and don't even think about making excuses. Because if you want the W, you're going to have to earn it. Nothing comes for free. Not 1 yard. You pay for it with sweat, with determination, with heart. You do things the right way because that's the only way. You pick up your teammates, you keep your head high, and you remember everything you went through to get here. Because at the end of the day, there's only one person looking back at you in the mirror, and that's one person you don't want to cheat. So now it's on you. It's your decision to make. You're going to hold back and leave a little something inside, or you're going to do your job and leave nothing.
All right, Earthlings, you have stumbled across the balance. That's right. It is Saturday. It is that time of week again. I know you guys have been waiting on bated breath. You've been sitting on the edge of your chair waiting to hear what is coming up next. Well, I'm going to tell you what's coming up next. It's the balance right here on the Balance Radio Network. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente of the aforementioned, and as always, joining me, my counterpart and partner in crime, the guy who would die on the cross for me, who's not there anymore. I lost him. Oh, Brian, you're killing me, brother. You're killing me. I've got to get him here to Indianapolis. Oh, we'll start taking a donation. Well, obviously, we've got a lot of NFL to talk about. The Titans, can the Colts get a win this year? Can it happen? Or are we going to go down like the Detroit Tigers? I said Tigers. All right, guys. It's not going to happen today. I'm not going to sad set myself. Lions. Not once you go down like the Detroit Lions. 0-16? No, no, no. Not in Colt Nation. Titans come to town. Hasselbeck might be out. That might be their saving grace. Write down these digits, guys. 917-889-8516. Pacers started their season last night against the Bulls. Wasn't quite finished that they had hoped. But I tell you what, I had an opportunity to talk with Frank Vogel after the game. And he's really excited about the direction that this team is going. So we're looking forward to following the Pacers right here on the Balance. Of course, as we merge into NBA, guys, away from NFL, you know, we're going to be for basketball talk. 917-889-8516 if you want to chime in on our conversation today. Coming up a little bit later on today, we're going to have Jimmy the Intern. Big game down there at Conseco Fieldhouse. The Fighting Irish. The Fighting Hoosiers. I am still excited and pumped up about that game last Saturday against UK. Boys and girls, your Indiana Hoosiers took down number one UK Wildcat. Woo! Boy, that was a good game. Today, they go into Conseco Fieldhouse, and they tried to play the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And then a little bit later on, 10:15, we're going to have Evan Williams on with us, going to talk with us a little bit about Butler and Purdue. Tell you what, Butler is having a slow start. I had an opportunity to talk with Rich Nye yesterday afternoon out at the Pacer game about, you know, Butler, and you know, it takes work to get to where we're at 2 years in a row. So guys, don't get mad at them. Don't go hating. Dogs are still around. Of course, they're going to be playing Purdue. Purdue's got a pretty good squad this year, so we'll see what happens. We're waiting to connect back with, man, I tell you what, I had this opening all lined up, all ready to go. Man, you know what he does, though, guy? What he drives from somewhere in BFE, Illinois, to Indianapolis. He does this every home game. The Indianapolis Colts, him and his fiance, Mr. Bluesy, I think is what her name is, on with the Super Colts fans. And, of course, there's a whole crew of them out there. If you're out at Lucas Oil tomorrow, you might want to check them out. I do think we've made connections now with Mr. Brian Jensen, a.k.a. Super Colts fan. Brian, I understand, you know, with all your extracurricular gardening that you do, that you need to be on the outside of the cafe.
So, you know, on the way to Indianapolis, dropping the kids off at the grandma's house, and snowing out here, unfortunately. But, you know, I'm cutting it out of service and trying to get on the road so I can get to Indy.
Well, it's that time of year for the snow. We certainly hope that you have a safe trip, and I know that you're going to be on the air with us as long as you can be today. Christmas right around the corner, Mr. Brian. You got your shopping done?
Absolutely not. I am the last-minute shopper. I'll get it done Wednesday night.
Are you the guy out of Walmart in his PJs?
Yeah, pretty much. 2 o'clock in the morning, so I don't have to fight the crowd, you know, during the daytime and, you know, go shopping at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. That's me.
Well, at least you'll fit right in with most people there in Walmart. It's probably your Walmart. I refuse to go to Walmart, and especially this time of year, I hate to shop. Period. But I really hate this time of year. So thank God for online shopping. Although, if you live in the state of Indiana, soon you might have a sales tax on your online purchases. We've talked about it during the week on the Gary Snyder Show. Gary's not in favor of it. Hey, I'm all for it because it doesn't raise my property taxes. That's a different show, a different day. Brian, I was out at the Pacer game last night. Season that almost was not. It's now underway. The Indiana Pacers, Chicago Bulls had a great first quarter. Of course, it kind of went downhill from there, and had an opportunity to talk with Frank Vogel, head coach Frank Vogel, and some of the other Pacers, and we'll get some of their interviews a little bit later on in the show. But they're excited about the direction that they're going. Obviously, picked up a great new pickup from played all of his career at New Orleans. So David West ought to be a good pickup for the Indiana Pacers, and excited about a new face. A new view of the Indiana Pacers. I think that they have been going through a lot, and they need that makeover. So we'll see how Frank Vogel does. I personally think that it's not going to take much to get him on the hot seat. So I know that he's anxious to just stay ahead of the game and not look back. Obviously, this is his first full year as a coach of the Indiana Pacers. I also believe that Larry Bird is running out of patience, so we'll see how that pans out throughout the year as we move forward. And of course, right here on The Balance, we'll be covering every dribble. Well, not every dribble, because you know, you got to miss some dribble. You know, you got to miss some dribble. And Brian, I'm not talking about the dribble that comes outside your mouth when you sleep when you're sick.
I was waiting for something like that.
I was waiting for it.
Yep.
Well, that's okay. I said a while ago, I said we don't want to go 0-16 like the Detroit Tigers. Yeah. So it's all good. Yeah, and I know what I just said. I said tigers because that's what I said earlier when I should have said lions. You know. Freaking tigers, lions, you know, bears.
Oh, my.
Isn't the bears your favorite? isn't the bears your favorite team, Brian?
Oh, I absolutely hate the Bears. We're on Detroit now, and they're going to love to hear that. I hate the Bears. I am the biggest Bear hater out there.
Well, yeah, you know what? You're right. We are on Detroit, in Detroit now, so we want to make sure that we put some positive reinforcement in there that the Lions are no longer the laughingstock of the NFL. We have taken over that role. Well, when we get back, Brian, you and I are going to talk about that. Obviously, Tennessee comes to town. Hasselbeck doesn't look like he's going to play. They've got the young rookie. I kind of think that might help play into the Colts' favor. I'm not exactly sure, but we'll see how that pans out. When tomorrow comes, I just wish that the end of the season would come and we could get done with this season. We could get on with the draft and start planning for next year, which one could only hope is going to be a better year. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network. Myself and Brian, we're going to start this show off. We'll be talking about the Colts and the Titans. We've got a lot on the plate today. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network. Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
All right, and welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. So glad that you could join us here on a Saturday. And Brian, are you with us?
Yep, I'm here.
And we've got another caller calling from your same area code. Who might this be?
Oops, she's supposed to listen in.
Oh, okay. She's listening. Are we gonna sad sack your fiance? That's fine. I'm with it. It's all good. I didn't know. You gotta warn me ahead of time, brother. I was like, I didn't even open up the phone lines, and there they are. Somebody's got my secret bat phone number here. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Well,
I was like, oh no.
Call it.
No, it's all good. It's all good. And we welcome. You know what? She's going to kill me. I know this, but I cannot remember her name.
Go.
I'll just talk.
Little Bluesy.
Little Bluesy. Dude, she's your fiance, man. Don't talk about her that way. You have a wedding date yet? No wedding date yet?
March of 2013.
March of 2013. Don't get in a rush or anything like that.
big
no,
guest
we're,
list?
No, we try not to.
And didn't you tell me you're just going to Vegas to get married?
Yeah, we're going to Vegas. We're going to do it the traditional way.
Dude, people just go to Vegas and get married. The whole idea of going to Vegas and get married is so that you can say, ta-da, we're married. Oh, by the way, the year 2013, we're going to Vegas and we're getting married, guys. Oh, my gosh. Well, that's funny, dude. I'm just saying, that's funny. You got I'm scared of commitment written all over.
We're trying not to rush it, and we're doing it the old-fashioned way, you know, just go to Vegas.
Just go to Vegas. Well, let's jump right into the topic today. I'm going to give you a few minutes just to kind of vent about the Indianapolis Colts and the Tennessee Titans. I've got some sound bites to load. I want you to go ahead and just give us a preview of what's to come. Is doomsday on its way, or do you think the Indianapolis Colts can get a win against the Tennessee Titans?
If Matt Hasselbeck was to start, I think we could get a win. But Jake Locker, I think he's going to be the future. I mean, I've been impressed with the entire draft class as far as quarterbacks go. I mean, you got a lot of rookie quarterbacks out there that are doing their thing, and they look really good. But, you know, some of them look, you know, like veterans. You know, Blaine Gabbert, I mean, he's having problems down there. That seems to be the only one that's kind of a, you know, don't know about that, but I think he's going to eventually be good. But Locker, I really think if Locker plays, we're not going to have too much of a chance, you know, but if Hasselbeck was to play, I think we'd have a good chance. Hasselbeck just does not look good this year, and every time I see Locker play, he looks good. He looks like, you know, he looks kind of like a veteran. And, you know, not having the off season or anything, you know, it's impressive to see, you know, these rookie quarterbacks go out there and, you know, kind of light it up and, you know, do their thing. I mean, look at Cam Newton. I mean, no off season. Look at what he's doing out there. You know, and then again, I mean, I didn't check the injury report. I don't know about Chris Johnson, but I mean, you know. Is he playing? Is Chris Johnson in?
I don't know. I haven't checked it either, but we'll do that before the end of this segment, Mr. Brian.
Yeah, if Chris Johnson's in, he's going to run out all over us. I'm not confident at all right now.
So let me ask you this. Does the Colts keep a hold of Jim Caldwell? Do you think that there's any way at all that the Colts keep Jim Caldwell, or do you think they just rip up the carpet and put in new and just start all over?
You know, I don't really know what to say about that. I mean, me personally, I think it's time for a change because, I mean, how does one person influence the entire team to go, you know, be this bad? I mean, you know, I've always said the entire year, apparently Peyton Manning played defense because our defense is horrible this year, and he should get the MVP because without him, we suck. So, you know, and Caldwell, man, I like him to a certain extent, but I just think it's time for a change. I'd like to see someone like Bill Cowher come in or even Gruden come in. I mean, because they know that they're not just going to jump into a team that has a lot of problems. I mean, yeah, we're 0-13, but honestly, I mean, we have a lot of stars on our team. We have a lot of Pro Bowlers on our team, even though we are 0-13. There's a lot of talent. So we have to be the best 0-13 team ever, you know, and you know, it'd be a perfect situation for them to come in. You know, Caldwell obviously cannot figure out how to get a win. So I kind of feel like it is time for a change. And the guy doesn't show any emotion. I hate that. I absolutely hate that. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, we get a touchdown. He just has that same dumbfounded look on his face. We get an interception. Same dumbfounded look. I mean, anything. He just has the same look. I think I've only seen him change expressions on his face twice this year, and that was it. I cannot stand
well,
that. Show some emotion, man.
You mean like you're doing right now?
Yeah.
All right, well, you know what? Well, you know what? The Tennessee Titans, obviously, if there's two positive things that can happen here that I see. One, I really think that we have an opportunity to get our first win because of the quarterback situation, that Hasselbeck not playing. And here's the other positive thing, I guess, if you will. And you know, it sounds bizarre. How can a team that hasn't won a game all year long put out a team from being in the playoffs? And, you know, it absolutely can happen because if the Titans lose tomorrow, pretty much their playoff hopes are done. And if Hasselbeck can't go, you know, they're going to be looking to Locker, the eighth overall pick in the 2011 draft. So, you know, I think Jim Caldwell is preparing for both quarterbacks. Obviously, that's something that he has to do. And, you know, Hasselbeck's been around a long time. And, you know, so I'd be curious to see what happens. We also are joined with us now, a blast from the past, guy who used to have your seat there, Brian Jensen, but he makes a cameo appearance every now and then. We didn't quite kill him off in the series, you know, so we let him make a cameo appearance every now and then. Joining us now, Mr. $2 Bill Josh Elmore. How you doing, sir?
We're doing well. How are you guys this morning?
Good.
We're doing good. Have you had your coffee? Ready to go?
Ready to talk Colts and Pacers and whatever else we get into.
All right. And Josh is going to join us a little bit today, just kind of hang out with us. And I'm not sure how long we got him for, but Josh is always a good conversation. I like to bring him on to talk NBA. We brought Josh on originally on the show as our NBA consultant, and life got crazy for him. So, you know, good to have you back, Mr. Joshua. Good to have you back. All right, we're talking about the Colts and the Titans. You just heard a little bit about what Brian had to say. What are your thoughts tomorrow again about the Colts and the Titans? Can the Colts finally get a win, Josh?
Can they? Yes. Will they? No. I believe they could beat Tennessee, but they won't.
I believe we can afford to win two. We can afford two wins this year. Tomorrow could be one of them. I mean, it doesn't matter if we get a win or not now, because then we still have that first, you know, pick locked up. So, I mean, I agree with him. I think we can beat them, but it ain't gonna happen.
Well, I could tell you this much, guys. The Colts, who won 10 or more games for 9 straight seasons between 2002 and 2010, have never dropped the first 14 games in any of their 58 campaigns. The streak's extinction. It's on the arm. Yeah, really. Hanks on the arms of Dan Orlovsky and Curtis Painter. We'll start with you, Josh. Orlovsky or Painter?
Is there an option C? Because so far neither one of them look all that good.
yeah, Brian.
Pat McAfee. And I'm going to go with option C, too.
Well, you know, it is what it is, guys, and you know, I think we're going to have another dual quarterback situation next year. I really do believe that. I think we'll have Andrew Luck, and we'll have Peyton Manning back. Josh, okay, real quickly, Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning stay around next year?
Luck, yes, Manning, no.
You know, Josh, here's what it is. When I say Manning. He's like he's on a game show.
He's a little rusty.
All right, we'll try this again, Josh. This time, answer us with the flair that you're known for, and the rants that you're known for. Does Andrew Luck and does Peyton Manning stay around?
I believe Andrew Luck will stay around. I don't believe Peyton Manning will stay around. He's coming off his third neck surgery. He's 36, 37 years old. He's not worth another $28 million, because as soon as they pay him that $28 million, they're locked in for another $80 million. So I think the Colts will cut him or trade him. I think the most likely trade place, and most Colts fans are going to hate what I'm about to say, will be either to the Jets or to back up Brady in Foxborough.
Really? Now, see, I don't think Manning's going to go to Foxborough. Here's what I think, guys. I think that Peyton Manning stays around with the Colts one more year and retires as a Colts. I would even be surprised. This would not be surprising to me at all if Peyton Manning takes over the role as one of the quarterback coaches or offensive coordinator type positions that I have a feeling is soon going to come available. Well, all right, let's real quickly just we'll get into some more NFL here toward the end of the show, guys. But what are some of the other key games? Let me ask you this real quickly before we go to a break and we get back and we talk some NBA. Is this the best Green Bay team ever, Josh?
The best Green Bay team ever, I'm going to say no. It's a team that's going to go 19-0. Very real chance, but I still think the team that won the first two Super Bowls will always be the greatest Packers team.
Brian?
I agree with him. I mean, the Packers' total yardage per game, I mean, it's ranked 31st in the NFL, and you know, I mean, the defense, any team can come in and score 40 points, but they can go on and score 45, 50, you know, pretty much on any given Sunday. So that's, you know, their defense, I think, needs help, and that's, you know, that's what's going to hurt them in the playoffs, but I still don't see anyone beating them.
All right, guys, we'll be right back, and we'll go right into our NBA conversation. We get back. The Balance now has its official Indianapolis Pacer credentials, and Gary Snyder helped us out with that, and teaming up with the Gary Snyder Show, we were able to get credentials for the season to the Indianapolis Pacers. I will be covering the Pacers for the Balance all year long. I was there last night, the Bulls and the Pacers. We'll be right back. Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Welcome back to The Balance. I tell you what, it is preseason NBA. It's underway. Last night, Chicago Bulls came to town real quickly. Brian, you're from up there in that neck of the woods. You hate the Bears, but what about the Bulls?
I like the Bulls. I grew up watching Jordan, Rodman, Pippen, Cartwright, Grant, and all of them, you know. during those great years. And I watch basketball, but I really don't have a favorite team. I mean, if the Bulls are in the playoffs, I'll go for the Bulls. But now that I'm doing all this in Indiana, I mean, if the Pacers win, I go for the Pacers. But I'm not, I just watch basketball. I like it. I don't really have a favorite team though.
All right, Josh, this is your expertise. What were your thoughts last night when the Bulls came to town against the Indiana Pacers? I think the Pacers had a good start. Obviously, the first quarter was exactly how we wanted to go, but it kind of went downhill from there. So, Josh, go ahead and give us your thoughts of the Pacers and the Bulls last night.
Well, I thought the Pacers got off to a really great start in the first quarter last night, and then it kind of went downhill from there. I think part of that is they've only been in camp for a week. They haven't had time to learn the system yet, and they kept putting people on the floor last night. Nobody ever heard of Jared Famous, Lazare. Who are these people? And, that big $20 million man is sitting on the sideline because he's only been in town a few days. So I thought all in all the Pacers looked pretty good.
Well, and I did too, and obviously it's a shortened season, and obviously there's only two preseason games. So in my mind, they've already started the regular season. There was absolutely no preseason, which may help or hurt the Pacers as we go along. I caught up with Tyler Hansborough after the game yesterday, and here's what he thought about the game.
Tom Marcus with the Gary Snyder Show in the Dallas, talking to Tyler Hansborough, Indiana Pacers.
Good game tonight.
Yeah, it was good. Felt good to finally get back on the court. Work on what we need to do and get the game feel finally.
Strong first quarter. What kind of went downhill from there?
Yeah, it was. We came out pretty well. For me personally, I came out and hit some shots in the first quarter, but it felt like there was kind of a drop off in the second, third, fourth. So we got to find a way to sustain that next time.
19 points, 11 rebounds for you tonight. Didn't miss a beat in the lockout, did you?
Well, I've always said, this is the first time I had a chance to actually train in all season. I've been healthy enough, so I was healthy, and this is the first time coming in my NBA season that I actually prepared and got in shape before training camp.
What did you do with the offensive after the first quarter? Was it more a matter of
guys mixing and matching things together and things like that? Yeah, it was a little rusty. Obviously, it wasn't what we wanted. I still think there were some things that we could have done. Once we make that pass, maybe make an extra pass to an open man. That's something we'll work on.
You look at the type of duo you and David can make at the power forward spot.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited about it. I can learn a lot from David. He's been in the league a long time. I'm excited about playing with him and having a chance to play with him on the court and go over and get some practice and learn from him.
To do a quick soundbite for two shows.
Hey, Tom, did you forget to turn your mic back on again?
Yeah, I did. Thanks, buddy. I gotta get me a big ass sticky note. Put it right here on the board. Turn on your freaking mic. God. All right. Sad sack myself. Well, that was Tyler Hansborough. I'll repeat what none of you guys heard me say. That was my rehearsal. That's classic. That was Tyler Hansborough. Now I can't even say his name right. But the Indiana Pacers took some time to talk with us. Josh, one moment, the Pacers looked like they were ready, for a long, grueling season that lies ahead of them. The next moment, they looked like a team that was up all night long and didn't have anything, training camp, didn't know how to play basketball. Two different types of Pacers we saw last night, Josh, and I don't know how much you saw of it, Josh, but tell us why two different, what happened? Let's just start from the bottom and work our way up. We already know first quarter was great, and then it just kind of went down from there. The Pacers had a very strong first quarter, but two long shooting slumps I think really did them in, Josh, during their 95-86 loss to the Bulls in Friday night's preseason opener at Conseco Fieldhouse. Obviously, it's a long season, not going to get too worked up about it. But we did see two different types of Indiana Pacers on the floor last night, Josh.
Well, you absolutely did see two different Indiana Pacers squads on the floor last night. I think it'd be different out of gas. It's the unfamiliarity with each other. And, Tom, you're going to recognize the statement I'm about to make since you're an IU fan. Don't worry, though. The cavalry's on the way.
That's right. All right, now Brian, I don't know how much of the Pacers you got a chance to watch, if any of it, last night. And which, by the way, guys, every Pacer game will be on Fox Midwest. So you can make sure you hit every. There's no excuse to miss it if you don't have cable. And if you don't have cable, then what the hell are you calling yourself a sports fan for? That's all I'm saying. You cannot be a sports fan and not have cable. Now, Brian, if you're about to tell me you don't have cable, I'm just gonna laugh my ass off.
No, I got cable. I'm not that poor.
Well, I didn't say poor. I just know you're tight. I just know you don't like to spend money. So Tyler Hansbrough, we'll get his name right, obviously led the Pacers with 19 points, 11 rebounds. Paul George, another great guy that had a very good game last night. And I know, Josh, you and I talked about that. He contributed with 17 points and 10 rebounds. Paul George, what are your thoughts about him, Josh?
I think he looks like he's a pretty good player for the Indiana Pacers. I think he'll be a superstar in the NBA, maybe not this year, maybe next year. All in all, I thought he had a pretty good game last night.
And I know you got to be going here in just a couple of minutes, but, you know, it was good to see a hometown boy coming back to Indianapolis, number three, Mr. Hill. Obviously, he's we've got the press conference that I did, but we don't have time to play it right at this precise moment. But in that press conference, I asked Coach Vogel what he thought about Hill, and he said that Hill's the kind of player that is an outstanding player that doesn't show up on the stat sheet, and he's a great shooter, and he's a workhorse, and he does very, very well. Frank's excited to have Hill back here in Indianapolis. Josh, what are your thoughts about a hometown boy making it big with Indiana Pacers?
I think it's great to have George Hill back here in the state of Indiana. I think he'll be a solid player. I don't think he'll be a starter for the Pacers. Also, in the next week, look for the Pacers to sign former All-Star guard Michael Redd and Andre Kirilenko.
Well, there you go. So, you know, and one other person that I had an opportunity to catch up with yesterday was our new – and I want to ask you about Wes, Josh. Before I let you go, what are your thoughts on the West pickup? You think it was a good one, a positive one, and what do you think about it?
I think it was an absolute home run for the Indiana Pacers. I think he's a solid player, and I think he'll average about 17 points, 8 rebounds, and Hansbrough will back him up with a 4. So I think he's a player that could get the Pacers to the NBA final, where I actually haven't projected to go.
Well, there you go. And I had an opportunity to catch up with David West yesterday evening, just after the shoot around at Conseco Fieldhouse, and here's what he had to say about being a Pacer. The audio, we're having a little problems with the audio on that. I will work on that, and I will get that back on. probably for next week's show. But basically, you know, David was saying that he's really excited about being with the Pacers. They've got a lot of talent, and he's excited about being a part of it. So, you know, it was a good opportunity to talk with him, and we didn't see any of him yesterday, and in the post-game conference, Frank Vogel said that we'll see how he looks during the week. We might see him in the next preseason game, but more than likely it'll be on opening night when we see David West. All right, Josh, I know you got to run. Any final thoughts for us?
Just make sure you tune into the Close the Gap Crossroads Classic today when Purdue plays Butler and IU plays Notre Dame, and hopefully I can join you guys in the Notre Dame.
All right, sounds good. $2 bill, Josh Elmore. Used to be the co-host of the show, and he's a great, knowledgeable guy to have around, especially when it comes to the NBA. All right, Brian. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the NBA. you cannot say Andrew Luck. So have you had a chance to look at any of the NBA teams this year? And listeners, certainly feel free to give us a call, 917-889-8516. We'd love to talk with you. What are your thoughts about going into the NBA season and the opening season after the lockout? Josh? I mean, Brian?
Yeah, right, I just been kind of following, like, you know, the Chris Paul thing and the Lamar Odom, you know, going to the Mavericks. And I think the Mavericks, you know, have a strong chance of repeating this year, you know, and, you know, making it all the way. I think they're probably going to be the most dominant team this year. The Heat, that was a big disappointment last year. You know, all that talent. And, you know, I get it all the time for being a Yankees fan. You know, money don't buy you championships. You still have to play. And, you know, they obviously – you know, they got that far. They started off really, really bad, you know, at the beginning of the year. And, you know, then they made it to the finals and they lost. And that was just, you know, that is championship or bust. And I've been waiting for the Mavericks to, you know, win one. I love Dirk Nowitzki. And he's awesome. He's always been one of my favorite players to watch. And I think they have a good chance of repeating this year. And, you know, that I think the Bulls could possibly be, you know, back in there again. I was never really too impressed with Hakeem Noah. I always thought that he was kind of a, you know, mediocre player. Yeah, he is, you know, good defensive, but I just think that they need a little bit more, you know, production out of him as far as points go. And, you know, I think they're just pretty much one of those teams that get so far that they, you know, that's about it. You know, they can't go any farther. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to watching, you know, finally getting ready to watch some basketball and, you know, the regular season, you know, the basketball and, you know, we'll probably watch the Mavericks do it again, is what I think.
Well, Brian, for those of us who have not met you, dude, you should have been a basketball player, man. You should have been a basketball player. That should have been you out there on the court.
I get that all the time. I was never the – I tried playing basketball. And, of course, you know, I'm the tall white guy out there. I'm 6'6", 18 years old. I can barely dunk. And I got friends that are 6 feet. Of course, they're not white. And they're dunking over me. You know, every now and then I would get a block in. I can't dribble worth a finger, you know. I was mainly the defensive player, but I was horrible.
Can you play basketball on Wii, though? That's the important thing.
Yeah, I play basketball on the Wii. 3-point contest all day long.
Right. It is good to have the NBA back and the Pacers back. And like we said, it was a season that we didn't know for sure was going to happen. And finally, they got their stuff together. We'll put it that way. The NBA Board of Governors voted to approve a new revenue sharing plan, and some of the key agreements of that point the NBA and the Players Association and their new 10-year collective bargaining agreement. Players and owners agreed to a 50-50 split of basketball-related income. i.e. the BRI. However, depending on BRI, players can receive as high as 51% or as low as 49%. And another really important point to bring out of this new collective bargaining agreement is the salary cap. And it will remain soft, and it has been set for the 2011-2012 season at around $58 million. The maximum length of a player contract will be reduced by 1 year from 6 years for a team's for teams own players, and 5 years for other players, and 5 years for 4 years respectively after that. Salaries in new player contracts may increase up to about 7.5% per year for teams own players, and 4.5% per year for other free agents. So I think both sides gave a little on this. I think that they both realized that if they were going to have a season, that they had to do something, that something had to come together, and so they were able to do that. And the Pacers, you know, obviously we just talked to, and I'm sorry we couldn't play that soundbite, but we got, you know, just a really good free agent, David West, and he was really a pleasure to talk with. He spent most of his career there, well, all of his career with New Orleans. And like I said, the Pacers announced Tuesday that they signed veteran free agent and two-time NBA All-Star David West to a contract. Per club policy, terms of the contract were not released. I'll tell you this, the boy's getting paid. Now, he's a big guy, 6'9", 240 pounds. How tall are you,
Brian? I'm 6'6", 255.
Okay. Well, he is 6'9", 240. And you know what? You tower over me. He really towers over me. So it was a great opportunity. You know what, guys? I got to say this. I don't know why I'm going to say this, but I've got to say this. This is my first – I've covered a lot of sports, and I've been doing sports for a long time. But this is the first time that I've ever covered an NBA team where I've had full credentials to go into the locker room, go anywhere I wanted. I'm going to tell you one thing. I saw more of the Indiana Pacers and the Chicago Bulls yesterday than I ever needed to. I'm just saying. I was walking. Yeah, exactly. 7 foot naked black guys. Right. I don't even know where to go with that. Oh,
man. My Austin's over here smiling. Great.
Oh. I didn't look, guys. I don't know if it's a miss. I don't know if it's a miss or I didn't look. Eyes straight forward and up. You know, shoulder. I looked from the shoulder up. You know, I was walking into the locker room, man. One of the female reporters for Fox 59 was right behind me, and they announced, you know, they do announce that there's a female coming in, but it wasn't soon enough, and I think she saw, I think her eyes went south, mine went north. I think it was like, she was just like, oh no. And so her cameraman goes, "You going to do this or not?" Well, they did cover up, and, you know, she regained composure. And so anyway, that's one of the fun perks of I don't know if somebody's going to come out of the shower and start popping each other with towels or what. All right, we digress on this show. We do digress. But the NBA is back. Bigger than ever, man. We got to take a break, man. This is out of control, my brother. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network, and make sure that you guys also follow us on Twitter, G Balance. We'll be back. We got a few more minutes. We're going to talk some more NBA, and Jimmy the intern is going to be joining us here at 10 o'clock Eastern. To talk about the IU Indiana Hoosiers taking on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. out of Conseco Fieldhouse. And it is sold out today, boys and girls.
Do you like what you hear on the Balanced and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis, Al Presidente of the aforementioned, and joining me... Okay.
You there, Tom?
I am here. Stand by. Oh, boy. All right. Sorry about that. I was hearing something in my ears that you guys were not hearing, and I thought I was playing it over the air, and I was like, ah! Dude, I'm going to tell you what, it's been one of those Saturday mornings, let me tell you. one great big sad sack, man. That's all I can say. Well, the Pacers weren't the only team that was playing last night. The 76ers and the Wizards played last night. Now, Brian, have you watched any NBA yet?
I haven't watched any NBA yet. I never got around to it. Haven't had time. Watching preseason of anything is just kind of boring to me anyways, you know. But, yeah, when it gets to the regular season, yeah, I definitely do watch it. I mean, I more or less have my favorite players that I watch. And, you know, and if the Bulls are playing, I might catch the Bulls or Pacers or something. But
or something.
Yeah.
I tell you what, all right, I'm with you now. We are all together now. I am just having a hard time with everything electronic today, bro. I can't get anything to work the way that it's supposed to work. So, you know, I had a sound bite from NBA.com that I was going to play to wrap up yesterday's games, and I can't get the thing to play. So it is what it is, guys. Joining us in about 5 minutes, though, is Jimmy the intern. We're going to talk about IU. And IU is on a roll this year, absolutely undefeated, 9-0. Brian, did you see that UK IU game last week?
Andrew Luck. No, I did not.
You can't say Andrew Luck on college basketball, brother.
Oh, yes,
you cannot
I can.
Say Andrew. Let's talk about Andrew Luck there for a minute. I mean, since you brought him up, and I was going to talk about this a little bit later on, but we've got a few extra minutes here. Let's talk about Griffin getting the Heisman Trophy. Does that surprise you at all?
Yeah, that really did surprise me. I really thought, I mean, I how much I follow college football, but as far as, like, everyone was talking, Andrew Luck was pretty much, you know, inked in, you know, weeks ago, and then Griffin comes and gets it. And honestly, I mean, I watched him play once, and, you know, When I hear about, you know, a certain player coming out of college into the, you know, the NFL, I'll start to watch him a little bit. And especially the quarterbacks. And I just feel like Griffin is probably going to be the one of those ones that's going to be, you know, kind of, you know, just not a flop, but, I mean, he's not going to live up to the expectations. You know, he just has that demeanor to me. You know, I kind of look at him like as – one of those. Not a Jamarcus Russell, because that was a complete flop. But just, you know, not living up to the expectations. Kind of like Jimmy Clausen, you know? Something like that.
Or Dan Orlovsky or Curtis Painter.
Yeah. Orlovsky at least is still playing.
This is true. Although, you know, obviously if Peyton Manning comes back, you know, he will be gone. But you know what? It was good for Griff. I like it. And if you remember right, I talked about it here on The Balance, and I actually picked Griffin to win. If you follow my tweets and my Facebook statuses, you saw that before the show even started, I said, I like Griffin. I think Griffin's going to win this Heisman Trophy, and that's good. And I like it. I think it was a great high point for both Griffin and Baylor University. Obviously, I don't think anybody's ever – I know nobody's ever won the Heisman, but I don't think anybody has ever even came close to winning from Baylor. So – It was a good opportunity for Baylor. Guys, we want to hear your thoughts. If you want to chime in on anything sports, NBA, NFL, NCAA, give us a call, 917-889-8516. This is The Balance, Balance Radio Network. You can also find us online, www.thebalanceonline.com. And you can also find us on Twitter, TB, Balance. You can find us on Facebook. Just search The Balance. You can find Brian Jenkins, Jensen.
God. Jensen.
Why do I always call you Jenkins?
I have no idea.
Now, you're headed here to Indianapolis from BFE, Illinois. You're going to be in full costume. Where can people find Super Colston? Now, and I am not exaggerating, guys. This dude has more pictures taken with him. I would be surprised if the numbers doesn't hit somewhere around 200 or 300 on game day. Would you disagree, Brian?
It's more than that on game day. It's probably around 400, 500, 600 on game day. It's about 200, 300 the night before.
It's a lot. I know. I hung out with you down there, so I have no idea.
It seems like if me and Mike are hanging out together, if it's just me or if it's just him, it's one thing. But you put me and him together, and we can't go anywhere because I mean we're just stopped and there's lines of people, just lines and lines and lines, and it's just like. You know, it's just unstoppable. I mean, the game that we went to, we tried to get to our seats. We said bye to Mike, and we tried to get to our seats, and we didn't leave that spot for 15 minutes.
Oh, I'm with you. Well, guys, we got to take a break. We get back, we're going to jump right into the most important topic of the day, and that is IU Notre Dame. Jimmy the intern's going to join us. And we've got a great, great tournament set up and ready to go out there at Conseco Fieldhouse. And I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a lot of red. It is sold out at Conseco today. We'll be right back with Jimmy the intern. We're going to talk about that very game.
Step in the way, multiple shots are going through your chest. You must have gone fast as far as what you were blessed. And I'm going to take a night to get. This is out to my nigga, Q. Rest in peace, baby.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Welcome back to The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. It is that time of day when we look forward to every year, and that's IU basketball. And this year we got something to really be excited about. And joining us now from IU, Jimmy the intern. Boy, is it pumped up and ready to go today. Jimmy, are you ready to take on the Irish? How about those Hoosiers?
Well, Tom, I wouldn't say that I'm personally ready to take on the Irish. I'm feeling a little puty today. My brother somehow managed to get me sick in one day that I've been home from school. But I'd say IU's ready to take on the Irish. I'd say today is game day. I'd say today is going to be a pretty good game.
You know what? There's something about being in college, you know, between just burning the candles at both ends and you know, just go, go, go. And, of course, you've got a lot of extra responsibilities with your radio. And then you get home and you get in your own bed and you're like, oh, I get sick. You know, it used to happen to me when I was in college all the time. Come home, get sick. And, dude, you've been kind of sickly all year long, haven't you?
That's kind of a side effect of getting no more than 6 or 7 hours of sleep every night. I need to do something about that over winter break. That's next on my list.
It's sleep, 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 sleep. All right, well, one team that is not getting a lot of sleep is the Indiana Hoosiers. Let's talk a little bit about last week real quickly. Obviously, we want to move forward and talk about the big game on the table today. Last week, IU, Kentucky. Kentucky comes into IU. IU beats Kentucky at the buzzer. You cannot ask for a better game than that game. Can you tell us a little bit about what it was like to be there down there at Assembly Hall last Saturday when Indiana took down number one UK?
I wouldn't want to ask for a game any better than that because I don't know if some of the more elderly fans there would be able to handle it. But it was an outstanding game. I got off your show, basically got up, got ready to get down to Assembly Hall. I got there pretty early because there were fans camped out and lined up outside Assembly Hall, really stretching around the hall, back around the side of Cook Hall, way before the game. There were fans who lined up out there at 6, 7 o'clock. People got there at 4:30 in their cars to wait because of the new IU rule that you can't start lining up until 7. You know, the fan atmosphere was great. It reached 115 decibels. Multiple times, like holding a chainsaw right next to your ear. Probably shouldn't be exposed to that for any more than 15 minutes a day, and everybody got more than their fair dose of that. You know, when that shot went through, absolute bedlam ensued. I was trying to be a good intern, make it down to the press room, get ready for the press conference, but no one was in the press room, so I decided, you know what, screw it. I'm going to go back onto the floor, see what all this commotion is about. And that was a good decision because there was just 3 years of pent-up frustration being released on that assembly hall court by just about every member of the fan base. I had some friends there who were up in the 45th row of the main level, and they managed to make it down on the court. So it was a great experience all around. Really glad I was in the building for it. And I don't think anyone who was there is ever going to forget it.
Well, and I don't think it's been that exciting since Bobby Knight has been around. And you know, nothing against the current coach. Tom Crean's doing an excellent job. And actually, I talked with Frank Vogel, head coach of the Pacers. And, you know, he graduated from UK. And I asked him, I said, so what are your thoughts on you beat UK? He goes, oh, yes, I remember that. But basically, he said, you know, I'm happy for IU. I've had an opportunity to come to some of their practices. I've talked to Coach Crean quite a lot over this season, and he says I like what they're doing, and they're doing good. I just wish they would have beaten another number one team. So that was kind of good. All right, well, let's move forward. Obviously, IU is in a rebuilding year, but you wouldn't know it. You certainly wouldn't know it at all by last week and by their season now, 9-0. Also joining us as well is Brian Jensen, our co-host on Saturday. And so, Brian, feel free to jump in here at any time. But, Jimmy, IU takes on Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. But what are some of the key things IU has to do to keep this winning streak alive?
They need to defend the perimeter. They need to hit their own shots. They need to rebound. And I'd say they need to get a pretty productive game out of Cody Zeller. Cody really didn't have a good game against Kentucky. He scored 11 points. Had a good game on the offensive boards, was their leading offensive rebounder. But 11 points, if I had told you before the Kentucky game that Cody Zeller was only going to score 11 points, I don't think he would have thought they beat Kentucky. Christian Watford really stepped up, and I think that he should be able to step up against Notre Dame, but he's been kind of inconsistent, actually. You don't really know what you're getting from him week in and week out, day in and day out. So it's going to depend a lot on what Christian Watford's able to do, on what Cody Zeller is able to do. But on a bigger scale, defending the three-point arc, rebounding, and playing under control, I think if they can get out on the break and play the kind of style they want to play, they're more athletic than Notre Dame, and doing that would greatly behoove them if they wanted to do that. I don't think that they want to get into a half-court slugfest just because that's not their style of play.
Now, Brian, do you have anything for Jimmy on IU?
Andrew Luck, no.
Yes, all right, Andrew Luck.
What was that?
Will Andrew Luck be suiting up for the Hoosiers today?
Hey, I tell you what, that wouldn't that be something? No, I'd watch it, but he'll be in Indiana soon enough, that's for sure. Well, Notre Dame, and you mentioned this yesterday. Notre Dame is gotten beat by some pretty strong teams. And so Notre Dame's record does not necessarily reflect the kind of team that they are. And so, and we talked about this as well, with all the crazy madness going on right now with IU taking down UK, Coach Crean has got to keep his team on point and focused because Notre Dame is a pretty good team in its own right. I'm not saying that they'll win today, but obviously they're. I mean, it feels good to say number 18 IU. That's for sure in the top 25. I was kind of hoping for 11, but I'll take 18 any day of the week, especially since you know Ohio State went down. But what does Coach Crean doing in the locker room, in the practice field, Kirk Hughes, and so forth? What is he doing to keep his players focused on one game at a time, the UK game is over. The only people talking about it is us, because they're not talking about it. They're talking about Notre Dame.
Well, Tom, I won't begrudge us still talking about UK. It's just such a great game. But that is kind of a danger with this team. If you let things get too far, they're primed for a letdown against Notre Dame. And I can't say they're not primed for a letdown anyway, because they had a lot of things go right for them against UK in Assembly Hall. And the crowd, no matter how good it is at Conseco, it's not going to match up to the crowd was at that Kentucky game. There's going to be a drop-off in energy there. So it's going to be important that they avoid a drop-off in energy on the court. Now, getting to your question, the fact that finals week came when it did, I think was a blessing in disguise for Crane and this IU team, because the players had to really buckle down right away and get their finals taken care of. Tom Pritchard, I believe, graduated. He took his last final as an undergrad. So he had a pretty big slate of finals for him. So we don't have to worry about Tom Pritchard at the very least contributing. The other guys, you know, we'll see what happens there. But the finals is important. I think that they had a chance to kind of refocus. And really what this team has been about all year, more importantly, is just one game at a time, one day at a time. And they've proved that so far this year up to Kentucky. Now, Kentucky's the biggest game. But after the game, Christian Watford said they don't want to be a one-hit wonder. They don't want that to be their crest point of the season with so much left to go. And they're still focused on building. This was an important win for confidence. It wasn't an important win for the end of their season. They know they still have a lot of basketball left to play. And that is a really encouraging sign. So Green's just trying to keep them focused on the task at hand, keep them focused on every day, on this game in particular. And judging from how this team has responded so far this year, I'd say they should be able to do a decent job at that.
Now, Jimmy, I know your voice is going to go anytime, so we'll keep you around just a few more minutes. But you know, today's game is the first close the gap Crossroads Classic at Conseco Fieldhouse. And this really should be a good game between IU and Notre Dame. It's obviously sold out. There's going to be a lot of red. The last time that the two teams played was in Maui in the fall of 2008 in Crean's first season at the Indiana Helm. IU won its first two games of the season that year against Northwestern and IUPUI, and then headed for the Islands where it would face Notre Dame, St. Joe. The opener against the Irish was particularly ugly. Notre Dame pounded the Hoosiers 88-50. It was kind of a reality check. Do you think that Notre Dame could do that again to IU?
I don't think there's another 88-50 game here in the cards. There's no ugly Tom Pritchard versus Luke Herangode matchup. I remember that Pritchard's freshman year rocking the, you know, kind of disturbingly disgusting sideburns against a senior All-American. Pritchard obviously wasn't even in the same class as Herangode, literally or figuratively. Got his lunch handed to him, as did the entire IU team. I don't think that can happen this year because this team is a lot better, and Notre Dame's nowhere as good. So maybe IU has revenge on their mind a little bit. Maybe Tom Pritchard plays a little angry. I don't know.
Well, it sounds like your voice is about to go. You're going to be at Conseco today, right? With the official Gary Snyder press credentials.
Actually, surprising development, and I think I can get my voice sounding a little better. I can pep it up a little here for you. Interesting development. The second Gary Snyder press credential was rescinded because Conseco was over credentialed. They overspread themselves. And so I think it's going to be a photographer for Gary going. So there will be some great pictures. Unfortunately, I will not be at Conseco. I'll be taking it in from home. But, you know, I'm with my family. I can more than deal with that.
I understand completely. Well, Jimmy the intern, Jimmy Kavanaugh. Jimmy, real quickly, where can people find your masterpieces?
Just check out my work on iusportcom.com. Follow me on Twitter, @JPCIV. And just keep an eye on those two things for content produced over winter break.
All right. Jimmy the intern. Jimmy, I hope you get to feel better, brother.
I hope so too, Tom. I really appreciate it.
All right. Jimmy the intern, Jimmy Kavanaugh. Always a pleasure to join him and talk with him about what's going on down at IU. We're going to be right back, guys. When we get back, we're going to continue our conversation with the Crossroad Classics. Evan Williams, I believe he's going to be joining us from Purdue, blogger of Bleeding Gold and Black. His team, Purdue Boilermakers, take on the Butler Bulldogs at Conseco Fieldhouse. And I tell you what, it's going to be a great game down there today. If you want to go down there to the game, go right ahead, but you're not going to get in unless you got a ticket or find one of those guys on the street, Brian, that you know so well. Need tickets? Buy tickets. Need tickets? Buy tickets.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located in 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, G-Balance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
To the ballots. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. So glad that you could join us. And the second half of our college basketball special, it is the Crossroads Classic out at Conseco Fieldhouse. Was just on the line with Jimmy the intern talking about a fantastic season that Indiana University is having and their win against UK last week. And talking about their game today at the Crossroads Classic out there at Conseco Fieldhouse against the Fighting Irish. But they're not the only teams out there tonight. Today at Conseco, Butler and Purdue play. And joining us now is our guy from Purdue, our Purdue student and blogger from Bleeding Gold and Black, Mr. Evan Williams. Evan, so glad that you could join us today on a great game day for Purdue.
Hey, Tom, thanks for having me today.
We did good.
Well, and also joining us is Mr. Brian Jensen. Brian, do you have any thoughts on Purdue?
You know what? If you're going to give me a chance, I'm going to say something real quick. During commercial break, me and my fiance were talking, and we've never been to a college basketball game, and you mentioned it was at, you know, Conseco Fieldhouse tonight. We're going to go ahead and head over there in our full outfits, you know, super fan outfits, and we're going to go watch Butler and Purdue.
Well, you're going to have a great time. I hope you can find a ticket because it's sold out. Now, Evan, are you going to the game today?
I'm not. I'm up home after my finals finished up.
Well, you sound a lot better. You sound a lot better than Jimmy. Jimmy's at home as well on winter break, and he's just going to take some family time. And you got to do that as a college kid. You guys burn the candle at both ends, and, you know, between your studying and your late-night scram sessions or drinking sessions or whatever it is that goes on campus. none of that goes on at Purdue, though, does it?
Nah, I was pretty focused during finals week, doing my work.
Well, let's talk about being focused, and that is obviously Butler will end a week off for final exams. Like, I think every college is in final, doing their finals right now, so hopefully everybody passes with flying colors. But they're going to be taking on another Big Ten opponent today, the Bulldogs. Next three opponents, obviously, both a combined 22-5 record. This will be the first meeting that Purdue and Butler have had since 2006. I think since 2000, I might be off on the date, but it's been a few years since Butler has played Purdue. So what does Purdue have to do to beat the Bulldogs today?
I think this is a very important game for Purdue. I think a win against Butler, you know, they've obviously had a great couple seasons, back-to-back appearances in the national championship. I think it's an important game for Purdue to win today. And what needs to happen today is Robbie Hummel really needs to take over the game. You know, this is his time to really stand out and be the star of the team. Juwan Johnson and Etuan Moore are gone now. It's Robbie Hummel's team. He has to pick up his game. He has to lead Purdue. You know, he really needs to be a scoring threat and a threat on the defensive side of the ball. Also, Lewis Jackson, senior point guard, has to be the facilitator out there. He has to take over the offense and run it, get guys like Robbie Hummel and Ryan Smith open for three. You know, he needs to drive the lane and, you know, be able to dish it off to the big guys inside, Jacob Austin, Sandy Marchuch. I think those are two really big keys for Purdue, is the play of Robbie Hummel and Lewis Jackson today.
Well, you know what? You talk about Robbie Hummel, and you know, the last 2 years were supposed to be really Purdue's time to shine. The Boilermakers were deep with talent and played really some of the best basketball in the country. That was until February 24th, 23rd, 2011. That was the day that will be forever ingrained in the memory of Purdue fans as the What If Day. As Purdue was steaming toward number one seed in the 2010 NCAA tournament and with dominant wins over Ohio State, Michigan State on the road. And it all unraveled with Robbie Hummel, and he tore his ACL at Minnesota. They recovered. So how is Robbie Hummel this year as compared to, we'll just call it the What If Day?
Well, I think so far Hummel's been having a great season. He's leading Purdue in both points and rebounds, and he really has been the best player for the Boilermakers this year. It's tough to see, you know, the what if. I mean, Purdue is really good that year when he first tore his ACL, and then even last year they had a really good shot of going really far into the tournament, and it's just disappointing to see that he was unable to finish his career playing with guys like Juwan Johnson and Etuan Moore. But I do think Hummel is still having a great season, and he looks very good out there. It doesn't really look like the knee is bothering him at all. I mean, there's going to be some hesitation from him if he's, you know, going up for a dunk or going up for rebounds. But I still think he's playing great, and he's not letting the knee bother him.
Crossroads Classic today. Butler, Purdue. We're talking to Evan Williams of Bleeding Gold and Black. Now, let's talk about Curtis Painter. Curtis Painter. Boom, boom, boom. Man, how in the world can you have two guys from Purdue named Painter? I don't get it. I don't understand it.
He plays basketball now?
Yeah. I mean, I guess this whole football gig didn't work out for him. Let's go with Matt Painter. I think that's the name I was going with. Jeez. Man, at least I didn't call it Drew Brees or something.
Football didn't adapt to college to play basketball. That's nice.
I guess I'm just so used to when I say Painter, Curtis just automatically comes out. Let's talk about Matt Painter, Evan. Matt Painter, obviously, you know, has to keep his team focused. I talked with Jimmy a little bit about what Coach Crean's doing to keep the Hoosiers focused. Obviously, that's going to be a lot more challenge than Matt has to do, but – when you look at what is ahead, especially going into the Big Ten, and with Robbie Hummel again back on the floor again and really producing some good numbers, Purdue has to win one game at a time. They cannot be focused on, you know, March. They cannot be focused on the Big Ten. And that game today is Butler. How does Matt Painter keep a young, energetic Purdue Boilermaker team focused at the task at hand?
I just think Coach Painter really needs to focus on defense. I think they need to – he needs to get the guys to be able to shut Butler down offense on when Butler's, you know, on offense. I think that's a really big key. Purdue's kind of struggled at some points on defense this year. So I think what Coach Painter needs to do is really get these guys to buckle down on defense and play shutdown D. Guys like Kelsey Barlow, he's one of the best defenders in the Big Ten, if not the country, in my opinion. He's so athletic. He just really needs to take the ball out of Butler's hands and not give him too many scoring opportunities.
Well, and you know, Butler may not be playing to the level of its recent standards after back-to-back trips to the national championship game. The Bulldogs have opened this season 4-6 and have lost three straight games. But Purdue's utmost esteem, I think they've got a lot of respect for Butler, and they're not taking them for granted, even though they are coming off to a slow start. Obviously, Purdue 9-2 faces Butler today as part of the inaugural Crossroads Classic at Conseco Fieldhouse. And I think that's a fantastic, fantastic idea to get just some good teams from the state to play each other. So it would have been a really huge game if they would have got Purdue and IU to play. But that is definitely going to happen before the end of the season. I'm quite sure of that. Purdue, you know, and Butler played last in 2006, like I said, with the Bulldogs defeating the Boilermakers 68-65 at the Wooden Tradition. The Bulldogs are a very good team, and Brad Stevens is a very good coach. What are some of the key things that you think defensively that Purdue has to do, and what do you think that Butler has to do to win? And this stuff, I guess, just an overall key summation of the game today.
Well, I mean, Butler is having a little bit of a down year by their recent standards. You know, Gordon Hayward's gone, Matt Howard's gone, Sheldon Mack's gone. So guys like Ronald Norrid, he's going to have to step up for Butler if they want to be successful this season and in the game. So I think what if, you know, Butler's standpoint, they have to control the pace of the game. I think Purdue's much more athletic than Butler, so they're going to have to control the pace of the game if they want to be successful. But I think what Purdue needs to do is they can't let Butler control the pace of the game. You know, that Purdue should win this game. I think they're the much more talented team this year, and they're much more athletic. So I think Purdue just has to control the pace of the game. They can't be passive on offense, and they can't let Butler get the advantage in controlling the tempo. I just think this is going to be a game where Purdue is really just going to have to move the ball a lot on offense, get a lot of open shots, and really just run through Butler.
Well, and we'll let you go here in just a moment here, but this is going to be a huge game. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of IU fans in the building. Is Purdue going to make a good showing down there? You think a lot of the students are traveling? Obviously, it's only about 45 minutes from Purdue. A lot of kids grew up in and around Indianapolis, so a lot of kids are on winter break. They're at home. Going to be a good show. I hear it's sold out. The entire classic is sold out. So is Purdue going to make a good showing down there?
Purdue will make a very good showing, Tom. Like you said, I mean, Purdue's very close to Indy. Lots of students are now getting done with finals, so lots of members of the paint crew, the student section, are probably going to be making the trip down there. There's lots of Purdue fans anyway, so around the Indy area, so I think Purdue's going to make a very good showing today.
Well, and you know, this reminds me a lot. This Crossroads Classic is very similar to the old Hoosier Classic. It was a two-day event that featured the same four teams, but it was at Hinkle, which I think they should have left at Hinkle. I think Hinkle's got a lot of and I like Butler. I've got some envy for, because even though Assembly Hall has a lot of history, when you go into Hinkle Fieldhouse, Evan, I don't know if you've ever been there, but when you go in there, you just get that old – feel of old Indiana basketball, of the way it used to be, and it just kind of gives you that understanding of what Hoosier hysteria is. And it's really, really good to see a classic like this. And you know, that was back in a little bit before our time. I think it was in 1947 through 1951, and then I think 1957 they did it as well. So it was definitely before our time. But Indiana won the event four times, Butler twice, and Purdue and Notre Dame each picked up one win as well. So Saturday's event is sold out. Real quickly, before we let you go here, Evan, is Hoosier Hysteria back in Indiana? Now, when I say Indiana, I don't mean necessarily IU. I just mean overall.
I definitely think Hoosier Hysteria is back. Basketball is, you know, I mean, Purdue's been having some really good seasons these past couple years. Butler, obviously, has been having some really big success. IU is finally getting back to their level of play. They've had some really disappointing past couple of years, and now I see that they're finally getting back to their level of play. And Notre Dame's always been a consistent team recently, so I think basketball is, you know, the main event in Indiana right now.
Well, joining us now, fashionably late as always, but good to have him, Mr. Gary Snyder of the Gary Snyder Show, my counterpart during the week. And obviously, Gary, you've talked to Evan a few times. Gary, do you have any questions about Purdue Butler for Evan before we let him go?
No, I mean, I guess Robbie Hummel is slowly coming back. How do you expect him to play today against a Butler team that's obviously not up to par to where it has been the last couple years?
I think Hummel's going to have a great game today. I really have a good feeling about it. He needs to take control of the game. He needs to be the leading scorer. He needs to make opportunities for his team to win. So I think Robbie's going to have a great game. I'll see him getting 20 points or more.
All right. Evan Williams, Bleeding Golden Black, Purdue student. We talked with Jimmy the intern as well, who was losing his voice. Both guys on their winter break, spending some time with the family. So we're going to go ahead and let you go, Evan. But real quickly, where can people find your masterpieces?
You can follow my blog at bleedinggoldenblack.blogspot.com. I'm going to start getting back into posting. Been on a little delay since finals week. And then you can follow me on Twitter at Evan_Williams25. I'm very active on Twitter. I like to post about Purdue and everything that's going on in my life.
All right, Evan Williams, Bleeding Golden Black from Purdue University, talking to us about the big matchup at the Crossroads Classic, the first one out of Conseco. It's sold out. Evan, thanks so much for joining us, and have a great break.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
All right. We'll be right back, guys. When we get back, yep, we're going to talk just a little bit about sports. All sports. We're going to talk a little bit about more about the Pacers. We were at last night, thanks to Gary Snyder and the Gary Snyder credentials helping us out with that. We're also going to talk about Barry Bonds. He got sentenced. We're going to talk a little Sandusky. You know, whatever else might come down the pike, we never know, especially when Gary Snyder's on the other line. 917-889-8516 is our number. If you want to join us for the last half hour, give us a call.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
And you are listening to The Balance. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the last segment of the show. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Joining us on the line is my counterpart during the week, Mr. Gary Snyder, who hooked us up with the Pacers. Mr. Gary Snyder, how you doing, sir?
I am excellent. I am driving home, so if I lose you, I will get right back with you. The Mike Gray team this morning lost a hard-fought battle, 9-8. At the Canlon Ice Arena in Fort Wayne, pulled the goalies down two goals, scored one with 37 seconds left. The opposing white goalie made an awesome stop with 3 seconds to go in the game to preserve the win over my son's great team.
Now, when you say white goalie, you just mean that was the team name, right?
Yeah, we'll save the racism for some other time,
dude. You know what? You weren't here earlier when I was telling this story, and I was telling my wife about it this morning. But okay, you know, and I appreciate the hookup. Gary really does good, the balance good, and the Gary Snyder Show good with the credentials. We could go anywhere in Conseco Fieldhouse, and when I say anywhere, that also means the locker room. And when I say locker room, that means post game. I've covered sports for a long time, but I've never really had I've been able to do pregame and, you know, that sort of stuff, sometimes halftime, but I've never had the opportunity to do postgame locker room interviews. I was not prepared to see that much of the Pacers. That's what I'm saying, Gary. I walked in.
Did you feel very insignificant at the time?
All I can say is 6'9", 7 foot, black guys. I my eyes were up. I don't know if it's a legend or if it's a myth. I don't want to know. I'm just saying.
Well,
I wasn't.
Well, you know, Tom, you know what they say about guys with big feet, right?
Oh, man.
They wear big shoes.
That's right. Basketball players.
Well, you know, that was classic. But, you know,
we'll have those credentials all season. I want to thank the IU Hoosiers today, too, because we had two credentials for the Crossroads Classic today, one photo and one media, to IU's win over Kentucky. The guys at the Crossroads Classics received an overwhelming amount of requests for photo credentials today. So they yanked my photo credential, so now I'm just stuck with a media credential for the day.
Yeah, and that's what Jimmy was telling us, and I think he's gonna set this game out, and somebody else is going. I'm not sure who, but
yeah, we'll be using Jeff Pankey today. He'll be hitting the Notre Dame. Since we have the Notre Dame and IU credentials, I was trying to hook us up with as much as we could. And initially they gave it to us, but as IU kept winning, they kept taking more and more away. So we'll let the Notre Dame basketball correspondent for us cover the games today.
Well, I did get some good drops for you, and I'll shoot those over so that we can use them on the show next week.
Line us up a guest, though? That's the question.
Yeah, I did, and we could talk about that off the air, but there's certain procedures that we have to go through to get them on the air, but those procedures are underway, and I'm on it. So we have to go through some steps, but yes, we're going to have them lined up. But I tell you what, I made some really good friends. Frank Montgomery over at Fox Radio, he's going to come on our show sometime. Some friends over at Associated Press is going to come on as well, so... It was a great time, Gary. It really was. You know, I joke about the lock, but I do got to tell this one story. I was press conference, the coach's press conference, I was just sitting by the girl from Fox 59 here in Indianapolis, the camera girl and the camera guy, I'm sorry, and they were right behind me as we walked in and saw the same thing that I saw. Now, they do announce that a female's coming in. They didn't say anything when I walked in, but she was right behind me. They did announce that there's a, the security guy did announce that there's a female coming in. Now, they did cover up with a towel, but it was a little bit delayed. And she just kind of, I think she had the same shock and awe that I did. And her face was 1,000 times red. And she just kind of, all she did was look at the floor. And her camera guy goes, "You want to do this?" And she goes, "No, I'm good. I'm in." You know, and they were all covered up and it moved forward. But it was an interesting spectacle.
That's got to be an awkward situation. It really does. I've never been in that situation, but being a female reporter, whether you're a legit or just a sideline person, that's got to be an awkward situation when you go into a room like that.
Oh, absolutely. And, guys, I hate to use this as a segue, but we're just running out of time, and I really do hate to use this as a segue, but Sandusky, I want to talk a little bit about this because it was very disturbing, and I don't want to get real graphic because this is a family show. But, you know, one of the things that I found very, very disturbing, and Gary, we've talked about this off the air, and I think a lot of people agree with me on this. He went through some very graphic explanations. I'll leave it at that. Basically what he said, he described play-by-play what happened when he walked in the shower. When McQuarrie walked in the shower and saw what he saw, now all of us are grown men here, so we know what goes on and what is going when he was being graphic, so I don't need to get that graphic. So he slams his locker shut, hence separating the two. He knew that they'd been caught because Sandusky looked him right in the eye. He didn't say anything. He went home and called his father. Obviously, we know the story from there. His father told him to contact Paterno. But my thoughts are this, and just like yours is, Gary, if that was my son, I'm just saying, you know, if that was my son, I don't encourage my son to fight or start fights. But in that situation, I would have said, quit being a Nancy, go in there and bitch slap him and give him the what's for and go Rambo on his ass. That's what I would have told my son to do. It's despicable to me that even happened, but it's even more disturbing to me that you have a guy watch it happen and do nothing. What are your thoughts, Gary, Brian?
Go ahead, Gary, go ahead.
You know, I think, it's kind of like, we hear these stories all the time where people getting mugged in front of a group of people or raped in front of a group of, or crimes happening in front of a group of people and nobody does anything. And you really don't know how you're going to react until you're in that situation. With that being said, though, it's hard to believe he did not find the biggest thing around that he could pick up and put upside this guy's head when he saw that.
No, absolutely. Brian?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I mean, I'm the type that, I mean, I get pissed when I even see, like, a guy treating a woman like crap, you know, and, you know, verbally or even hitting her or anything. I've seen that before, and I've jumped in the middle of it. I mean, I'm the type of person, I mean, I've run into a burning house to save pets before. You know, that's just me. And if I would have seen something like that, Jerry Sandusky would be probably, to just put it, you know, blunt and out there, he probably would have been, if I would have seen it, he probably would have been laying on the ground with his head split open. I mean, that would have been me. I mean, I would not let that continue or even say, hey, you guys need to stop. I mean, I would have just beat the living, you know what, out of them.
And I agree with both of you guys. I think that something should have been done. But, you know, maybe on the flip side of it, and again, I'm just playing the devil's advocate, not that there's much room to play that with this particular scenario, but we're talking about a guy who was a very, very well-respected coach. And we're talking about a guy that was younger. We're talking about a standout quarterback for Penn State. And we're talking about a split decision. We can look back and say, oh, we would have done this, we would have done that. But being put in that situation with that type of caliber of person and knowing your role with the team at that time, it's hard to say, you know, that's what I would do, especially in that type of situation. I just hope that the justice system works the way it's supposed to. Obviously, Sandusky waived his rights to be at the hearing. He wasn't even at the hearing. He didn't want to hear this. And I just think that, combined with the Bob Costas interview and just different things, I think the guy has hung himself before the jury ever even gets the case. I think this guy's going to go away for a long, long time, and justifiably so. Well, speaking of prison time, not of prison time, Barry Bonds. Obviously, 8 years of being investigated for steroid allegations ended for the home run king, Barry Bonds, on Friday with a 30. Check this out. I'm just saying, 8 years of investigation of illegal steroid use, lying to the feds, every type of federal case that you could think of was coming against him, and this is what he gets: 30-day sentence to be served at home, no more, maybe less, and some community service. So no prison time for Barry Bonds, obviously one of the greatest baseball players we would think of his time. But when you throw in steroids and you throw in lying to the feds and you throw in all the stuff that he done and to get 30 days, guys, what are your thoughts? We'll start with you, Gary, because I know that you don't lie to the feds. Not that you've ever lied to the feds, but...
Hey, never convicted.
Gary knows
never
from experience.
Well, you know, when you take a look at this, we've always thought that there was a line drawn in the sand between regular Joe, you and me, and celebrities. And when Martha Stewart was convicted of basically the same thing, we thought, okay, maybe we're starting to see that line be removed or blurred a little bit. And after Martha Stewart did the same thing and received her prison time, we were kind of expecting Barry Bonds to maybe get the same. Obviously, this judge says, okay, we're going to treat Barry Bonds differently than we're going to treat everyone else. And for him to only get to serve 30 days in his palatial mansion, it's just a slap in the face of justice, I think. Hey, and it just goes to send a message that if you are rich and powerful enough, as if we didn't know this already, then you can get away with pretty much what you want.
Absolutely. Brian, what are your thoughts?
Well, everyone's heard the saying, money don't ever buy you happiness. But the other part of it is what people don't hear is, if you got money, you got problems. You just throw money at those problems and they'll disappear. And that's pretty much it. I mean, if you got power, you got fame, you got money. I mean, it doesn't even necessarily take the fame part, just take the fame out. You got money, you can buy the best attorney in the world and they'll get you out of it. Or you can throw money at something and they'll get you out. Make a donation and they'll get you out of it, And that's pretty much the way it is. I mean, if this was anybody else that didn't have any money, they'd be sitting in prison right now for the next couple of years. And that's pretty much what it comes down to.
To build on what Brian said, money can't buy happiness. And the people who say that obviously never had money.
Yeah, true. But if you have money and you got problems, you just throw money at the problems and they'll disappear. Look at OJ, I mean, he had, and now he's broke and everything. Now he is sitting in jail for something else because he couldn't fight it. That's the thing. If he still had money to fight that last charge, he wouldn't be sitting in jail right now. I mean, I don't think you really disagree with that. I mean, he got away with murder. You know, I mean, if you have money and you have legal problems, they will disappear. If you have money, well, except for Jerry Sandusky. But, you know, that's a little bit different. But, you know, that's just pretty much what it comes down to. I mean, this guy should be in prison. He lied to the feds. Anybody else would be sitting in prison right now.
You know, and Brian, you bring up a good point because, you know, and I hate to be the socialist in the room here, but there are two different versions of the justice system, one for people that have money, one for people that don't. And if you have money, you're going to beat it. If you don't have money, you're doing the time, plain and simple. If you look back over any case that has to do with criminal justice, and there'll be a few exceptions, but there are two different justice systems out there for America.
Yep, definitely.
And you're absolutely right. And it's not just in sports. It's just money in general. And you're right, Gary, because you look at Michael Jackson and you look at a lot of other cases that in our mind was a very clear-cut case of guilt. And then you look at the flip side of it is who does it benefit? And you look at, speaking of Michael Jackson, again, you look at the doctor, and not that I'm saying what he did was right, wrong, or indifferent, but he got a hefty prison term for basically, for all intents and purposes, turning his head. Now, I'm not saying that he should have provided these drugs to Michael Jackson, but would he have gotten the same prison term if it would have been anybody else that he provided those drugs to and turned his head to? But because it was the King of Pop and because it was Michael Jackson and because of, oh, the world comes to a halting stop because Michael Jackson has died of a heart attack. That guy was a ticking time bomb a long time before he died. It was just a matter of not if. It was just a matter of when. And so there again, you're absolutely right, Gary. There are two different types of classes of people. And it just depending on what side of the fence that you're on.
Well, and I'm going to get a little political here a little bit because, you know, and it goes back to, you know, this omnibus bill that was passed to fund the government for the rest of the year, a $1 trillion bill, okay, and to also extend tax cuts, the payroll tax cuts for middle Americans. Do you know how they paid for that? It wasn't with going back to the tax rates that Bill Clinton had, making the rich pay maybe 3.5% more than what they're paying. What they did is went in and said, okay, we're only going to give you a two-month payroll tax holiday, and you know how we're going to pay for this? We're going to go in and say, hey, if you're a college student, we're going to cut Pell Grants off for you now at 6 years instead of nine. Who gets Pell Grants? The poor. And I know a lot of people are going to scream, well, you don't need 6 years of Pell Grants. Well, if you're a part-time student, going to school, taking 6 to 9 hours a semester, you just been screwed by the government because, hey, you don't make the contributions to keep those Pell Grants available to you for 9 years, and we'll keep the tax rates as they were and let the poor handle this.
You know, and my fiance is in school right now, and she's sitting here right next to me listening to it on her phone, and she's sitting here shaking her head. Yep, she knows exactly what you're talking about. It's so true.
Well, and my wife is going to lie. My wife is a full-time student. She went to school part-time for 4 years. She has hit her sixth year now. She has 1 year to go. So next year she doesn't get a Pell Grant now simply because that's how they wanted to pay for the tax cuts for the rich.
Yep.
Well, I tell you what, there is a group of people that are getting rich and aren't giving us any cuts at all, and that's the Indianapolis Colts. Orlovsky.
Well, nice segue, though.
Would you like to be paid money sitting on the sideline collecting all that money right now? And it's like, wow, really?
It's got to be nice. All right. We're running really short on time here. We got about 5 minutes left here, so we'll finish the show up talking about the Colts. Gary, we didn't get a chance to talk with you earlier about the Colts. Colts, Tennessee, do you think? And I was talking with Rich Nye yesterday afternoon at the Pacer game while we were eating our wonderful, delicious food, by the way, about this very, very game tomorrow, the Colts and the Titans. He seems to think that the Colts have a very good chance of winning this game. What are your thoughts?
You know, and this game scares me a lot because I think the Colts may have a good opportunity to win this. You know, the Titans are coming in with a backup quarterback. And, you know, with three games to go, the Colts could easily secure a successful season by losing on Sunday and having the Rams and Vikings lose. So this game scares me as one the Colts could win and put their number one overall draft choice in jeopardy, because I don't see the Rams and Vikings winning this weekend. That would make it a one-game cushion with two to go. And there's only one way to really screw up this season right now, and that's to win two flipping games and lose your number one draft choice.
Oh, yeah, you're, I guess you're right. Now you get to the point where you're right, because that's like I was telling Brian earlier this week when on Monday night, I think it was, watching that Jacksonville just getting slaughtered by Atlanta, and they just fired Del Rio for not winning. And the thing is, you don't get fired as a head coach mid-season or at the end of the season if you're going to the playoffs. So just stick it out and just wait till the end of the season and see what happens, guys. Well, Orlovsky's going to take the snaps. We don't know for sure if it's going to be Hasselbeck or the rookie there at Tennessee. You know, I think that the Colts will prepare for both passers. So real quickly, Brian, what do the Colts have to do to just destroy their season with a win?
You know, I am completely confident that we will lose. That's pretty much it. You know, we sit here and say, you know, week after week, oh, we have a chance, we have a chance. Well, you know, no, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen somewhere in the game. They'll be like, well, we never expected that. That's going to be what's going to lose us right there. That, you know, I mean, we can sit here and say, okay, we need the passing game to, you know, whoever's the quarterback this weekend. You know, I mean, even if they put McAfee in, you know, the third straight quarterback, I mean, we need to pass the game. Well, they don't show up. They don't show up. Well, you know, if Garcon dropped three balls, you know, I mean, well, one of them could have been the one that was the key for the game. You know, there's going to be something that's going to happen in the game that's going to be like, yeah, that play would have actually developed and that play would have happened, then this game would have been turned around and we would have won. And, you know, I mean, you can sit here all day and debate over, you know, different stuff that we need to do. But, I mean, in the end, I just don't see us winning. And I think we're going to lock up that number one.
All right, Brian. 1 minute, Mr. Gary Snyder. What's going on with the Balance / Gary Snyder Show next week?
The Gary Snyder Show on Monday. We have an abbreviated show, we'll be on until 5:30. Abby Phillip, Politico.com, will be with us Tuesday. U.S. Senator Richard Lugar will be on the show. So that's what you have to look forward to Monday and Tuesday. And, again, hopefully the Colts do not screw up this season now and go out and play good.
Well, and Gary, you're known for your masterpieces, and we don't have time to get into all of them, but where can they find them at?
My masterpieces are at GaryLSnyder.com. Look on something now about this Pell Grant thing, because if you are a student, especially a poor student who goes to school part-time, has children, whatever, you are screwed if you're expecting Pell Grants all the way through school.
All right, Brian, wrap us up here. You got about 30 seconds. Wrap us up here on the Balance.
You can find me on Facebook, Brian Jensen, J-E-N-S-E-N, not Jenkins, in Indianapolis, or in hometown Dixon, Illinois. Me and my fiancée, Lil Bluesy, will be down at Indianapolis Colts Grill sometime tonight. Hopefully we're going to try and get into the Butler game, see if we can find some tickets, get into the Butler-Purdue game, and have a good weekend.
All right, guys, that's going to wrap it up for another show of The Balance, another episode of The Balance. My name's Tom Mark with El Presidente. Hope you all have a great weekend. Make sure you spend some time watching some NBA, some college basketball today. IU takes on Notre Dame. Purdue takes on Butler. And of course, follow us on Twitter, T-Balance, Facebook, The Balance. We'll see you guys Monday afternoon with The Gary Snyder Show. We'll be right back. I mean, no, we won't. We'll be back on Monday.
Boo!
Boo!
That was the worst thing I ever heard.
It was terrible.
Horrendous.
Well, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, yeah?
Well, there were parts of it I liked.
Yeah, I liked a lot of it.
Yeah, it was good.
It was great.
It's wonderful.
Oh, bravo.
More.